This is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right. This is beginning of Channel 2 Right on the Rio Willard City. This is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right. This is beginning of Channel 2 Right on the Rio Willard City. This is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right on the Rio Willard City. This is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right. The beginning of Channel 2 Right on the Rio Willard City. This is a tape from Saturday, the 16th of November, 1968. Saturday, the 16th of November, 1968. Willie came by to see what work I had planned for him. Willie came by to see what work I had planned for him. This is the visit. He came over to see the work I had planned for him. But he'll be in town now. He's back in town, working in town now, beginning Monday for an indefinite time. But he came by to see what work I had planned for him. And this is the beginning of Channel 2 Right. Channel 2 Right on the Rio Willard City. This is about 12.
Round trip, you know, a day.
He's getting mileage on that. Be nice.
You really get a lot of mileage. And driving to Gainesville, not so bad. If you're just driving to Gainesville, where it's been with me. Well, last year I had a pretty good job. Long this time we was working out there just off 75 on Williston Gaines cutoff between 75 and 441. Back in there on southwest 15th Street, I believe that's what they call it. Going in behind the university there, the farm between the university and old dirt road, you probably know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been back in there, wallered out road. We went back in and built some apartments. And I liked it back in that, away from everything. We started off in the woods out there, you know, just kind of roughing it in out there. You know, kind of like the old pioneer.
Yeah. Well, that cut off all that driving in town.
Well, I didn't have to drive. I didn't have a sea game.
Yeah.
Didn't see Gainesville. I dropped off at 75 and turned to the left. You know where that little Methodist church is there? On Gainesville, Williston cut off?
Yeah.
That graded road goes down the university property there.
Yeah.
Go down that road and turn to the left for a street.
Well, you were just pioneering as long as you didn't have to go.
I liked it out there. It was real nice. We got into this poison oak, and everybody except the niggers taken it. That's what heat me up. I'm telling you, I had to go to the doctor twice. And it's, a community. In other words, you can give it to somebody else, you know.
Oh, really?
If you touch it.
Oh.
And boy, my wife had it. Boy, I'm telling you, it liked to eat her. She's kind of fair skinned anyway. And that's the people it works on. She had to go to the doctor about three or four times to take the shots.
I thought I knew everything about poison oak.
Well, I didn't know you could
never.
Do it. I surely
never got
it. Not to get it. The doctor told her that the best thing for her to do is not to have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
As long as I was working around that job.
Yeah.
Of course, after we got off the ground, we were going to get all right. I noticed my hands begin to hurt. You know, that poison oak, naturally, when it gets to really hurt you, really gets on you, it hurts you.
Yeah. Just plain hurts.
It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And, it got up to my long hair on my knees and long hair on my arms. And I didn't get any on my face, but my legs hurt me so bad. And, it feels so good to scratch it until then it gets sore. And then that's when it starts to hurt.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, Sybil finally got some stuff that she went to the doctor three or four times. The doctor told us, and I went one time and got a shot. Doctor told her that I could take the same medicine, you know, after I went the first time. She did the experiment. He did the experimenting on her, and then I used whatever turned out to be the best. But I'm telling you, them capsules, had them little old teeny capsules. I don't know how in the world they feel. It's about the size of lead in a lead pencil.
Mm.
And about a quarter of an inch long.
Mm.
Man, that's some potent stuff. It had to be, because you just take one a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you get just as dizzy. Man, I get so drunk, I just stagger.
And you worked all that time?
I worked, didn't miss a day.
Oh, really?
Couldn't afford to. We were 6 weeks behind on this project to start with. Well, actually, I say couldn't afford to, I could. But then we got the state and county and the city all together there just about put us out of business. Although it was a
I better go hang up.
Time limit job. supposed to have been through by the 1st of January. The man come around that long about December. Long about the 1st of December, right? Maybe about this time. Maybe about this time. And, of course, it's owned by several professors and universities.
Oh, is it?
And they, this one, I don't know whether you know him or not, Richard Hammer, Dr. Hammer. He was a mouthpiece for the organization, you know, and a fine man. I liked him real well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him, I said, Doc, I said, there ain't no way in the world for us to get through. And I said, well, of course, I work for my brother, you know. It's just about to run Martin crazy. I said, because he's always come up. The years that he's been in construction, he always comes up within a day or two before, and not more than that much after the deadline. And, of course, it's supposed to have been an expense, you know, this time cost. In other words, any time went over, what it costs, you know, whatever they can draw. It's figured on the basis of what the building would be worth to plan for the day that you lagged on it, you know. Well, I couldn't get nothing that away because due to the fact that we didn't have anything to do with it. We was there and ready to go, and the state says, you don't touch a thing here until we tell you to.
Why wouldn't it?
And we couldn't do nothing. So, of course, you know, now you're not supposed to go on a lot and work until you get a permit from City Hall. You got to get a permit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go on a lot and touch it until you get... That's the first thing you do, go out there and put you up a stake, put up the sign on a tree, you know, this permit, right? And, so we couldn't touch not a thing there. Couldn't get a thing. And then whenever, you see, we had a bulldozer that we could use at the time. I mean, this man that did Martin's bulldozer work was slack and needed to work. And then when we needed him, we couldn't get nobody. We had to get out there. We just taken a tractor. And right where the buildings were going, why we dug these trees up. Of course, it was all blackjack and red oak in it. But it was only over half a dozen. It was real bad. But we'd dig around them a little bit. Old trees like that, you know, red oak trees. We'd dig around them a little bit, tunnel around them, and take the old blade, you know, and drag with the tractor, cut around them. And then climb up and then tie a chain and get well fast down there and snatch it with the tractor and get a strain on it and then dig a little bit and chop a little bit and finally it'd fall down.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, the biggest problem was that old poison oak. And you know, I didn't know what poison oak was. I thought I knew what poison oak was.
What is it, Willie?
It's a little old thing that grows up. Well, out there, I guess if it's on rich ground, this is that old poor sandy land, you know. And this that I seen, most of it was just about that high, and in spots it's just as thick, and it reminded me of this old, it grew up like this stuff, like that hill of this old Spanish needle, whatever you call it. It grew up about like that. When we first went in there, it was in the long, where we were supposed to start it in, 1st of September, and didn't get started until the 15th of October. And,
good
so that it turned, the leaves were the prettiest color, you know. Red, yellow, orange.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful color. I said, you know, that's about the prettiest stuff I believe I ever seen.
Walking right through it.
Walking. Oh, man. It has a seed, you know. It puts out a flower, and then the flower makes a seed. And I was pinching seeds off like that, you know, and I said, hey. And there was quail around out there, you know. I said, I'm good mind to bring my gun up and shoot some of these quail, you know. And I kept fooling with that stuff, and I was the first one to get it, because it was amazing to me. I just didn't know. I thought I knew what poison oak was.
The one you hadn't got all over your face and everything?
Oh, I didn't get it on my face, but it's a wonder I hadn't. But my fingers swelled up, you know, in between each joint just swelled out.
Yeah.
And at night it hurt. When you put it in hot water, anything warm just made it throb. But he got these old capsules. The digs didn't get it. I don't know. I just didn't ever understand them people.
Who?
Colored people working.
Didn't get it?
None of them got it.
Why, Willie?
And this one old dig that's been with Martin ever since he's been in business, he wanted it. He said, Mr. Willie, this stuff don't bother you a bit, see? And it just makes those hills run up and down the back. You know, and the roots, whenever you chop them, the roots, it's white. This juice runs out, and that's the most deadly. So the doctor said, don't let none of that juice get on you if you can possibly catch it from that root.
Yeah.
And so I refused to pick up any roots from it. It has an awful root system. And so when digging the footing, though, you're going to get tangled up with that stuff and laying steel, you know. The roots stick out from the sides of the bank, you know. dried, it's just as black as Ace of Spades.
Oh.
And it'll get on your hands, and it's just like tar or something. You know what I mean? You can't hardly get it off.
Now, this is poison oak, not the
ivy. Yeah, just the
poison oak. And it has leaves, something similar to poison ivy, and it looks a lot like your water oak leaf. I mean, your red oak leaf. Looks similar. It's kind of a pulpy leaf. More, only it's not as
it's
large.
It's a three leaf thing.
Yes, it has three leaves, and it has 3 points on the leaf.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know it.
Well, if you ever get into it, you'll know it. That is if you're allergic to such as that. And I've pulled old poison ivy and stuff. I've drug it down and burned it. And doctor says, I had a friend down at Ocala. And somebody had planted, had let this ivy grow in this fence between him and his neighbor, you know. And both of them had moved in. It was a secondhand home, you know. And both of them had moved in there, and then just cutting that vine down and moving that fence because it was real ugly. They didn't like it. And the people before them thought that this old poison ivy was real pretty. And I seen it when, you know, it has little black berries on it, you know. It'll bloom out and have little berries on it, little black berries. That was the richest vine I believe I ever seen. I guess it was the lots is about 100 feet there running across, you know, the lengthways. And these people had this fence there, and they must undoubtedly have planted this thing because the main stump looked like it's right in the middle of the lot. And it would run both ways, and these people on the other side, they'd keep it chopped off. They didn't want to come over on them, you know, and they'd keep it chopped off. And so he proceeded, he said, well, this other boy didn't look like he was ever going to help him. He got out there, he cut all that stuff down and piled it up, pulled it up in a great big pile in the back then. So he set fire to it and burned it. The wind blowed the smoke on him. And he couldn't hardly see. His eyes were swelled up. So.
Mm-hmm.
And his face was plumb just rash, you know, raw. And the doctor said, well, Dr. Daly told Sybil, says, tell Willie not to get no smoke when they're burning around that, because that's the worst thing in the world. So that smoke will get it all over you then for sure. And it's more potent than anything else. There's smoke from that stuff. But I got another touch of it when we got through with the buildings. Why, it don't seem to bother you so much in the wintertime when it's cold. It didn't seem to appear to be so bad. But I usually always do the leveling the lots and kind of landscaping, you know, and pulling this little dirt here and that little dirt there with a tractor. And we had quite a mess around there. So, of course, it's out away from city sewage, you know, and had to put in 8 septic tanks of the hugest kind you ever seen to take care of this thing. That's the reason the people, their original copy of the print, blueprint, was completely chopped up so you couldn't use it. Had to get a new one all together. And the fact of it is, they drew up 3 before the state health department ever accepted any. But all this dirt from these tanks, I had to do something with it, or either, you know, haul it off. And so had low places, and I'd pull it old parts and get that trailer down, you know, from one place to the other, you know, trying to fill in low places. And I got another touch of that thing in February. But I went right home, and between one of my fingers, I don't know which it was, began to swell a little bit, and a little pimple come up, a little clear water blister. Boy, I went home that night, and I take me one of them old crazy pills, I call them. And the next night, I take me another. But you get to fooling around, you can get that juice on a shovel, and them jigs, they'll get the hands nasty. And I'm always on to them, you know, about, I have a shovel of my own, and I said, I don't want you fooling with my cotton-picking shovel. They get the handles so nasty and dirty, greasy, and if there's a pine tree around, they get tar all over the hand, and they get it on the shovel handle, you know. And, of course, I have to use a shovel some. And I don't like for them to use my shell. So, in moving this dirt, unhooking from one piece of equipment to the other, these old vines, you know, would drag up on it, and I guess that's where I got it from in February. But it didn't last. I whipped it down with them pills. I take 3 there, 3 nights in a row. And put them on. But,
you know, I read in the Reader's Digest, a man don't always take it.
No.
It depends on his constitution.
You might take it one time and not the next.
Yeah.
But,
if you just work at it.
Bypassing. I think anybody that is allergic to it would get it if they worked in it. like this. I mean, it was, the place was infested with it. We found that the roots run everywhere. There'd be a patch of it here maybe big as an automobile tire, and but underneath the ground, the roots would be like that, and some of them big as your thumb. And you could chop that thing, it looked like a milk spigot there, just spewing that little white stuff. But as soon as the air hit it and it dried, it turned just as black as anything you ever seen. But I just wonder how poison that would be if you was to happen to eat some of it.
Yeah. I'd affect the inside.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I'd hate to have to go in there and do a little scratching.
Really, I'll have to admit, you know a lot more about poison oak than I did.
I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know poison oak. Well, you see, Dr. Hammer, he's taking some at the university. He got it, his wife got it, his little boy got it. So they said that's poison oak. Well, I never did call that poison oak. I've seen it before, but didn't pay it no mind, but it didn't work in it, you know. I didn't fool with it. I just walking through the woods.
You never had it before?
I never had any kind of weird stuff like that.
Well, up there in the country, up the country there where I come from, oh, it's just sick up there all, everywhere. And it is that one spot. Oh, it's everywhere.
I don't want none of it on my place if I can keep from it. I've never seen any there. Now, you see it in sand hills a lot, and places, old hedgerows.
Oh, yeah, where you can't plow or clear that stuff out. Well, let me ask you something. I wish you'd tell, just sort of give her a clue, a general idea. I've tried to tell her that a number of times about your neighbor there that didn't want the electricity to go across his land. That is one of the best stories I've ever heard.
That man was...
Mixon.
Yeah, he was so hard against that thing. And then he made him go up in the night down, follow the fence rope, and had set poles on the outside. No guy wires on his place. In other words, the pole to set out on the other man's property. And then the trees began to grow up. He quit farming and let the trees take over. And in the meantime, all those old hedgerow oaks, you know, grow fast.
Oh, wow.
And they grew up into the lines, and he went down there with his shotgun and let them chop the bushes out of the lines. And every time the wind would blow, the lights would flicker at my house, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, well, let's see, there was one... two, three, there was four. At one time, there's five of us lived, and I'm on the dead end of the line, and I'm the one that gets the most affected.
The least of it, huh?
I get the most of it. The dead end of a line gets all the trouble.
Yeah, you get the
most flicker.
That's right, I get the most flicker.
Least juice.
Mm-hmm. That's right, get the least juice, and therefore you see a bigger flicker. I went to him and talked to him about it, you know, and he got plumb mad.
Oh, you talked to him? You went and talked to him?
I went to him and talked to him about it. And when it rained, the lights would go out. They just go dead. It blows the transformer.
Oh.
And finally.
What happened? When you talked to him,
I just asked him why come he didn't let the people cut them trees down. It was causing everybody around his neighbors so much trouble.
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't bothering him a bit.
Oh. You mean just straightforward, no mentioned words?
That didn't bother him a bit. So then he got. Well, I don't know whether I told you or not at the time. He had a son. He and his son and myself were the same age.
No.
Born the same month.
No.
And back when he was about 17, 18 years old, this tree-killing business come popular around here, you know. People was killing hedgerows and bushes and trees, you know. And back then, of course, we didn't have, I don't guess there was hardly one or two tractors in that whole area out there, and most everybody made a living by farming, but it was new, horses new. And he had the two boys, one of them was my age, and one was the age of the brother that I worked for. And
Martin older than you are?
No, he's younger than I am. And so, he always had trouble with this older boy. The older boy looked just like his mother and his mother's people. And so they named him after his daddy.
Well, it's something.
No, I want to be in the
same. Named him after his daddy. Full named after his daddy, you know. And then here come the second one and looked just like his daddy and named him after his mother's family. And he didn't like it. Seemed like she kind of did the naming, you know. And it went from one extreme to the other, and it seemed like we, us kids, always noticed, you know, that if there's any dirty work to do, Charles had to do it. Clifford, he didn't, it was always easy on him, you know. And
was he the one your age?
Charles was.
Charles was.
And he always taken a beating. Everything happened. If anything happened on the farm, that Charles done it. And of course, now this is the feeling of the whole community. What I mean, you know, everybody in the community, even his own aunts and uncles, noticed it, and they talked about it, and they've talked to me about it.
Oh.
And he was a real hard taskmaster. The old man was. I'm telling you, he'd give them boys, especially Charles, chores to do, and say, "Now you got to do that and that much before I get back."
Oh.
And of course, the old man was raised by the old book, you know, and he was fairly old. I say fairly old. I believe he was about 40 when he got married and tried to raise them two boys, you know, and he just made a mess out of it.
Mm.
But he tried to raise them like his daddy raised him, which was, you know, each generation you have to look the situation over before you really start driving. Well, he carries this water.
Hadn't heard anything like this thing.
Uh-uh.
He's plowing this in this field here, and they had this hedgerow. And Clifford, of course, the plowing was rough. They'd let the grass get ahead of him, and so the old man went to the house and got two jugs, gallon jugs, and the poison, you couldn't tell it from the water, you know. And he set this jug of poison down, the boy plowed out then. Of course, he was hot, and he grabbed up the jug, and he'd been wanting water for hours, and he wouldn't go get none. And he threw this jug up and take a slug of that tree killer, and it killed him.
Oh, that's Charles.
Mm-hmm, it killed him. He eat his throat out before they could even do anything about it. His whole throat was eat completely up. Well, they rushed him down here to McIntosh, and from McIntosh to Ocala. And they claim if the old man had done anything to start it with, of course, he tried to make out like the boy didn't drink none of it. And people kind of looked down on him about it. He began to drink. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, the old man just began to drink. Went to nothing. And,
I didn't know that.
He began to drink, take dope, and throw crazy fits, you know. And he and my wife are distant kin. My wife was a Mexican before I married. In other words, her father and his father were brothers.
Mm.
So her father and his father were first cousins.
Uh-huh.
First cousins. And, he got to where he couldn't get around too good and got to where he couldn't see. And so some of the family decided that, and his wife had been wanting lights, electricity in the house some time already. He run in there. She even signed the, you know, everybody had to sign up to get a line run in there. And she even signed the paper without him knowing it because she knew, you know, if he knew it, why, she wouldn't get a chance to sign the paper. She signed the paper without him knowing it. And then they come out of the house. Why, of course, you know, when you sign up, you're supposed to. They back then, you know, it was almost compulsory because they had to have so many customers to be able to afford that line out there. Well, they had a little razzoo about that, and then when they went putting the line through, there come another little stir up. So then when they come around to wiring the house, got the house all wired up, and, REA, of course, most all the original boys had gone. They didn't know too much about their original stirrup. So, nevertheless, getting back to the fence row, when they said they were going to cut the trees down regardless, then he said, "Well, you move the line back across the field." That's the way it was. So you move the line back across the field. So, but says you can't put up, says you put up a pole on this side here, it come cornering across his property. And says, "You can't put no more till you get across on the other corner." Well, it was a span of two poles across there. And a pole, you know, REA stretched them far as he could to start with because poles cost so much money. And, of course, they couldn't string wire across that field on two poles. They had to have at least another pole in there. And so finally they got him to let him put up a pole out in the middle of the field. And then when he wired his house and everything, an old man that went out there to survey the service, you know, and all, had to have an engineer, you know, to see what's what. And he told him, he says, "We ought not sell you nothing." And, of course, he won't know why. And then here they comes, this argument, you know. They had to send the wrong man out there. And he began to fuss. And they finally got electricity, but it took about 2 months there.
Sent the wrong man out there.
One of the men had known of this trouble that they had with REA 10, 12 years before. I just looking at that little old hummingbird. That's the least little thing. Where'd he get off to? He's down in there somewhere.
That's not what I was looking at. Yeah.
Hello.
He's making money, anyhow.
This is a little...
Look at that. He's a curious looking thing, isn't he?
This is a little teeny thing. Wasn't much bigger than just about like that. And he was just, you know how they'll sit and spin?
Yeah.
It just the least little thing. Wasn't much bigger than that little old speckly wing bug.
That's a honeybee.
It's some bees.
Hummingbird.
Uh-huh. You know the little teeny...
Yeah.
Little old teeny bird. You know them things, they eat you up.
They get mad?
Yeah, man, they'll get on to you.
Do you ever have an experience?
I had one. They'll buzz right in your face. I found a little old teeny nest. We used to have this old vine that run on the fence all the way around the house. Down at home before the original home burned. And
was that the home place where you are?
Oh, no. Down at Flinton.
Yeah.
And what do you call them? It's a pink vine.
Yeah, they come on.
Yeah,
and the
fennel vine.
The thing was just plumb about that thick and about that high on that fence.
Yeah.
And there's all kind of vomits hung around that thing. And I kept watching that little old hummingbird. I wanted to catch him the worst time. And finally, I seen him going up in this vine up in there. And I got up in there and got to looking around. If I do, there was a little old nest. Wasn't much bigger than my bowl of my pipe.
Yeah, probably not.
And I got fingering around there, and the first thing you know, it zip up by my head, you know, and zip. And he was just a hitting at me, going and coming.
Yeah.
And my aunt was there, and I got running and fighting like that, and she thought it was bees at me. And you know that little old hummingbird fought me right on the end of the house. And she told me, I don't know whether she was doing it to keep me from bothering that nest or what, but she said, now that bird will hurt you.
Were you just growing up, Aunt?
Oh, yeah, I was about 6, 7 years old.
Oh.
Right at the mean stage, you know.
Yeah. Getting
I finally caught, I wanted some honey one day bad, and I went out there that same year. Vine was just plumb low, bloomed, you know. And old bees was flying around, them old bone bees, you know. Old big bees. I kept doing like that, you know, trying to catch me a bee to get some honey off of him. And I finally caught it.
Oh.
In my hand, you couldn't tell one side from the other.
I had to learn that one.
them things, from, they bite me now, it kills me.
Now, you remember that, Willie? That's been a long time.
Very well.
Yeah. Have a good
day. There was a hummingbird chasing me, too.
Yeah.
That was the least little old hummingbird, though, I believe I ever seen it.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah. Maybe it'll come back.
You grow any over here that
day? Yeah. It's been sitting out here a month or two. That's about the only thing I've let sit out. I don't know. You got it
under a good shed there.
Well, I don't know.
It's a good tree.
Now, that don't set out. That was just there.
Now, Willie had business on. He had to go by the service station down there, Emmett's service station, and he had to pick up some things at Wynn's, and he knew he'd just stand there talking too long. But he dwelled on that hummingbird. He picked that up himself. He went into more detail about the mixing story, and it's fairly light. Not as light as it was the first time he told it. And he brought in the sad part of it this time. I hadn't heard that. That's the most surprising thing in the world. The poison oak was the old light-hearted spirit. Now, Faye's there. If it hadn't been for her, I think he'd had to march right on. Now, we walk on up. I went in and checked my tape, and Faye and Willie stopped out at his pickup truck. And that's where we talk now.
51 or 2. And didn't have a bit of trouble. Talking about the Plymouth there. He brother-in-law bought a brand new 40 model Plymouth, and he drove that thing to about 52 before he ever had any trouble with it. Of course, he, after times got a little better, he bought his wife a car, and he bought her a... What was that thing? A Pontiac, I believe. I guess it was a Pontiac. And it didn't turn out too good. They had trouble with it. But I think that was mostly her fault. She didn't take care of it. He'd be gone, you know, sometimes 2-3 months at a time. off on big construction. He'd be gone with his Plymouth. He drove that thing all over the United States. And he'd drive it to down to, well, he went to Chile or somewhere on a 6 month project. He drove it down to Miami where he got boarded the government plane going over there, and he just put it in stores down there until he come back.
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't leave it around his wife and family.
They I don't know him.
Charlie Woods, I don't think he
no.
was. He's down Ocala, but they, with most, especially when you got two boys, they had two boys, and they, when they got up big enough to think they wanted to drive, or could drive, they wasn't old enough, and they didn't know enough, but yet she let them drive, you know.
Oh,
and they started driving when they were 12, mm-hmm. 10, 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And they'd come up home up there, you know, and drive on Sunday, drive them old back graded roads all the time, you know, racing around,
12, yeah.
14 years old, you know,
yeah.
right by themselves. She'd
yeah.
be at my house or some of the other sister's house, either at the home place, you know, with her mother.
And they'd
and then kids running, racing up and down the road in the car. So, and then never had a bad accident, never did. And the baby boy, about the time, Silver's mother, which was with her daughter, Silver's sister down in Ocala, and was in bad shape. She was real sick there. And so the boy missed the bus. The oldest boy, he'd done graduated. Anyway, the boy missed the bus, and so she let him drive the car, and he taken off down the road there, and I don't know, fooling around and wasn't looking at what he's doing, and run into the cotton picking bus he's supposed to and should have been on. Run into the bus and tore the whole front end out from under it. Well, that was a Mercury. Practically a brand new Mercury. And run into under that school bus, you know, and just tore it up. And of course, it cost quite a bit of money because the school bus would stop to pick up children, you know. And that's, you done broke a law whenever you run into the school bus, much less. It stopped picking up children, you know. He said whenever he looked up that he could have went around, but the kids was crossing the road, and he had a thought there that if he put on brakes trying to miss it and veer off to run into the ditch on the other side, he couldn't on the right side because of some mailboxes, and he said he was afraid the kids, he might hit the kids as he come around to get the door, you know. And so he said he pulled the wheel just a little bit to the right, his power steering, to the left rather. And he said, I'll hit it broadside and tear up everything. So he said, I just let her run right on into the back, you know, square on. And it run about 2 foot up under that bus. That messed that one up. But that's the only accident. Nobody was hurt. He didn't even hurt him. But, that was the only accident that they had during the time they were growing up. And I just figured, I said all the time, I said, boys are going to kill somebody if they don't kill themselves.
You can't hardly calculate yourself out of those things. Now, you don't have any trouble much at all with this, except your transmission. You've never had any engine trouble.
The only trouble I had was a transmission. And if they'd have put a decent transmission in, I guess I'd have had trouble with the motor. You got to have some trouble.
Yeah.
That's life. Life is nothing but trouble. You got to have some trouble if you're not living. And
yeah.
Living is life. If a man didn't have something to look forward to or something to pester him, he'd die. Because he needs these things, you know, to keep him living.
Keep him stirring, jumping.
That's right. Keep him on the ball.
How much time do you spend on your car?
You mean driving or working on it?
Working on it.
Not any harder. I change the oil myself.
Well, that don't take any time.
I've got to go have my scotch.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to go pretty shortly, too, because I got to get back to Wind down there. I got another. Got to do a little back
to Well, you come back up here for hamburgers?
I'm going to have to go.
Well, I mean, when you get through running around.
I've got to go down and catch old Jarhead and get him weld that piece of pipe on the socket that's laying over there, and two or three other things I got to do.
Well, Willie, let me ask you something. Since you're here, when the commode in there just simply won't go ahead and flush completely, does it mean we got to dig in this septic tank?
Not necessarily. Not in tank business, unless that we We haven't had enough rain, actually, to cause the earth to be budging with water. And that happens sometimes, but I don't think we've had that much rain. A lot of the times, there's something hung in it. Somebody's dropped something in the throat of that thing. And
they had one of those screw things.
Well, either that or you might take what they call old plumber's friend, suction cup, chug it down and change the course of it where it can flush on out or either suck it back. Now, that happens very seldom, retrieving anything by that method. But don't run nothing down in there that other than a snake, well, a plumber snake, because Roland Thomas was going to clean his out. I was telling him about, you know, he might could take a piece of a coat hanger or something running there, you know, put a little hook on it and hook on whatever it was and drag it back. He used something. I don't know what he said he used. Now, anyway, he punched a hole.
I just love to have you eat lunch with us.
Thank you, Ms. Miles. I guess I better not because I'll take up too much time. That's my problem. He punched something. I don't know what it was. Now he punched in there and kept punching, you know. Well, actually, that hole goes in, you know. It goes up like this and comes down like that and then goes back down and out. Because you got to have water in the commode all the time to keep the scent from the tank coming up through there. And in other words, you call it a water trap. And I don't know whether he thought that thing went straight into the tank or not. But anyway, he punched a hole in the back of the thing and all the water ran out on the floor. What was it you wanted to look at?
Well, you'd pick one up if you wanted one.
Yeah, but if it worked all right, it'd be all right. If it didn't, I'd kick my own self.
Well, you never heard me complain anything that went on out here, did you?
But then on the other hand, I might be getting in the pocket there whereby you feel like I might have ripped you or something.
Yeah.
Get this light here.
Now, let me take
a little light of it.
I don't know what.
Oh, you got that hay rake?
Yes, I've got a hay rake and a hay baler.
Oh, no. You mean a yawn?
Yes, and a mower.
When did you do all this?
Oh, I've been doing that. Sometime. Yeah.
Buy new equipment and then sell
it? Oh, no, I didn't buy any new equipment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got that one.
I don't know about that shed business, but the light. And you talking about what kind? You said you want an old street light out here.
Oh, you know, something just so it's not a spotlight. Mm. That spotlight blinds you.
Mm. I'm trying to figure out if I've got something over at the house. I had some old stuff, waterproof stuff. I don't know whether I still got any there or not. But, you know, I quit doing this kind of work. I don't have anything. All the stuff, supplies I had, I carried up yonder and I'd run into jobs, reworking those old apartments and things. I would, March God, I put a lot of stuff in them, you know. I had the old several, I ain't no telling how many hundred feet of scrap wire.
Yeah.
And from time to time we'd be wiring a house, you know, and I'd need just a little bit of this or that to finish up the job without putting too much in it, you know. I mean, you got everything I got. And wire comes a premium now. It costs more than that. You can buy pennies cheaper than you can buy wire.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, copper is pennies, you know. But I was just thinking about how I could run that thing out here without, too many wires. See, you need three wires to control it.
Well, just don't control it then. Just drop it and I can turn it on out here.
You need, I could use the ground wire going out would take the place of one. Two travelers, they call them, can't be interrupted. You got to have two wires at least going back besides them three that's there already. Or you'd have a deal whereby if this switch wasn't just right out here, you couldn't get no power on down there, and you couldn't get the light on from in yonder. You'd have to come back out here and get this switch situated where the power would come through.
Mm-hmm.
I fixed them like that, but that's the aggravating thing you ever seen. I said I'd never do it again because people, they didn't want to put nothing in it, but they wanted where they could control it in two places. But if this switch is not right out here all the time,
mm-hmm.
you don't get no power down there, and you don't get no light on.
Mm-hmm.
This switch, you've got to cut it off in the house. always you got to have it cut off in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come in at night and it's off in the house, you can't get it on here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an aggravating thing. You know in time that you're going to come in late and you do want it on, and you can turn it on like that, and you don't need nothing, no power down there. You can turn it on here. But then when you get in the house and turn it off, you got to come back out here and trip the switch again to make it work the next time. It's a crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there wouldn't be no trouble to put a switch on that pole there.
Well, we'll just put one on that pole there.
And, like I say, I might have some stuff at the house to rig you up a light for that. I did have some waterproof stuff, outside lighting. And I think there's still some piled up in that junk house there somewhere. It ain't going to be new stuff, but it's better than you can buy. Nobody got it.
Yeah.
It's better than you can buy, I'll grant you. But that and air conditioning and an outlet in the kitchen, you said.
Mm-hmm.
And how big is that room approximately that you want air conditioning?
Well, let me see. It's 14 foot square or 16 foot square and 10 foot ceiling.
Well, that makes a difference. Eh? Well, all the your high ceiling is good for cooling because it keeps the heat further away from you. That's where you don't have no cooling. But anyway, 16 foot ceilings.
10 foot.
Can't get you all tangled up, can
you? Well, I've painted it and papered it. Paneled it so much, I...
You know what it is.
Know what it is. Well, I know we got some of that 10-foot...
What I was going to say now, I won't swear to it, but you don't need this air conditioner on next April. In the meantime, I might be able to pick up a fairly good unit.
Yeah.
Now,
don't need it till August.
Oh, you're going to be gone then?
No, but August is a bad month.
Oh, it's bad. But in the meantime, now I'll be on the lookout for. I'll know this when I if I get it. I'll know it when I get it.
Okay.
It's gonna be a good unit. It'll be used, but it'll be a good unit. I knew where there was one. A man told me I could have it if I wanted it. And I said, well, I don't want it. I don't need it. But I told my brother-in-law about it, and he went to get it. And the man said, no, says I'd change my mind. He'd give it to me, but he wouldn't get no money. I seen him later, you know, and he says, how come you send that boy over there to get that air conditioner? I said, well, you said you didn't want it. He said, yeah, I give it to you then. I said, well, I could take it and give it to him. He says, hell no. He said, I wouldn't give him that. So I'm happy.
Oh, yeah.
But now, the next time I get... The job gets run up.
All right.
I'll come over here and I'll tear that shed down.
You come over here and we'll start to work.
What are you going to build equipment shed out there? Is that what that's going to be out there, equipment shed?
Yeah, just like yours over yonder.
Oh.
Where you can drive in it.
Okay. You want a gable roof, not a flat roof like your car shed.
No, yours is gable.
Mine's gable. This is your flat roof is cheap shed.
Well, that's good enough.
Now, I tell you what, I built several. I don't know whether I ever told you or not. I built several. I kind of like them. I don't know. Some people might not like them, but I built several where I come out on this part of here.
Yeah.
If you want my equipment shed, you want it higher than this off the ground.
Yeah, you'd have to have a little higher.
So you can get your tractor and equipment. Come up here a little higher than this, and then I put me a return.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would have. Yeah.
So that this high end here don't. You got a little more protection
Out.
Yeah. Since here, your cars, well, them drums. What are you doing with all them drums over here?
You want one?
Are they giveaways?
I'll give you one.
Would you?
What do you want it for?
I might have to
replace
the
drum. No, it won't do for that.
Why?
They're not. They're rusty.
Oh, well, mine's rusty now. That's the problem. Bottom, by the way. Yeah, I'll tell you what. That's your car?
Uh-huh.
What are you doing with so many bills around here?
So many what?
So many bills.
Any cars?
Yeah. Automobiles.
Oh, just got these two. This one, we just run that around the neighborhood.
Oh, neighbor, he says, is that your bill? But here, a couple of years ago, I had this old drum, been on that some while. And, you know, kerosene heating drum for heating. And I used to take them down about every other year and clean the kerosene has a lot of mud in it, sediment, you know.
Oh.
And it creates a lot of moisture condenses in there, condensation.
Yeah.
And so you get the sludge in the bottom. Well, I usually take it down, you know, and I screw the bung out, and I take in the hose and cut it down to a real fine stream, you know, and just hose that thing around and around in there, you know, with water.
Uh-huh.
And wash and hose and wash and hose, you know, and clean all that sludge out. You have to do that if it sits there, because it'll get caked in the bottom, you know, and it'll get just as hard, and you can't hardly get it out. So I was hosing around down there, and I had the flashlight, and I shined the flashlight down. I said, shoot, I ain't got no water much in that. I know that thing. I put my water in that in it. And, of course, it's on the bottom part of the barrel. As you have it sitting up in your rack, you know, the bottom part is what gives away. And so I had my head down here holding that hose, doing like this, you know, and round and round. And I heard something spewing off out there, and I looked out there, and water, grass is all wet out there. I cut the hose off and walked right on the other side, and I'd cut that drum or strip about that wide all the way down from the bottom to the top where it just rusted, eat it out.
Oh.
You could take a lead pencil, in fact I did it, and do like that and just like tipping the egg, you know.
Yeah.
All the whole belly out, rotted out.
Yeah.
And it helped kerosene, didn't leak a drop. But I just decided I better take them down, you know, and clean them out and get sludge out of them.
Yeah. These have been up 4 or 5 years. I've been expecting them to spring a big leak at any time.
Oh, yeah, I was looking to see if you had a drum. You have got a drum.
Yeah.
But these, as far as rust on the outside.
It's inside.
It's a nice tank. You know, and then he does like this.
Yeah.
Back on his back, he'll have it feed that deep on his back. Laying up on his back.
Close it out.
You know what he's doing? Fighting flies.
Yeah.
Called himself putting that feed up there to keep the flies from getting tense. But he always had that feed in his belly.
Yeah.
And then he could support them flies.
Yeah.
Like you say, you got a leaf.
Yeah, I just had one there the other day.
Well, looks to me like you got one right there.
Yeah, I know it. I noticed it a while ago.
You must have stepped on that, brother.
Stocked it, but I don't see any fish much down there.
I'll have to come down there and fish and see. You know, catch a big one. Yes. Let me run down here. You know what's wrong before this thing blows up? I got to get me some hot water, some heater hose for my truck, but it was pretty cold out of the morning.
Yeah.
And I like to froze.
Oh, really?
I need a starter boot. You know, the boot around the starter where you match the starter, you know. Leaves a hole about that big when that boot tears there. But my hose, that's a funny thing here. All these many years, hose look plumb good, you know. I was putting plugs and points in it. Yeah, working right here. I done the wrench down like that. And my knuckles just hit that and broke it off. Broke it. Just looked like it'd been cut.
Yeah.
Crystallized. Hard as a rock.
Yeah.
So I got to get me some hoses. Dodd got them, I guess. He closed at noon, see?
Yeah.
He used to. I guess he still does.
Yeah.
And when I know closes at noon, I got to go down there and get my eye hole handy. You ever use eye hole?
Yeah.
I use them all the time around the house.
Yeah, I can't get along without it.
This is a good handle. I just got it in last year, and I said, well, this is the best handle I ever had in the hoe. It was just as slick as slick stuff, just smooth, and it didn't hurt your hand. And I was a-digging, you know, and a-chopping, and it sprouts. And so the thing hung. I just done like that to prize it laid up, and I didn't do it hard, and that thing broke just as pretty as you want to see.
Yeah.
It did it so easy it scared me.
Yeah.
And I usually pick my handles, axe handles, hoe handles, hammer handles, and to see it the grain run straight through.
Uh-huh.
And because a long time ago I bought a handle, and the first chop I made, just trying it out, I just chopped down like that, and it run across like this. The grain was running crossways, and it just dropped off, the hoe dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
Another man bought an axe handle. I don't buy no painted handle if I can get away from it. I ain't going to buy no painted handle. You can't see what the grain is on a painted handle. See, and you just buy knots and everything. He went and bought this painted handle. And,
like a broomstick.
He put the thing on and he'd beat on it. It was about a 4.5-pound axe. You know, he drove the axe on, got it on there, what he thought was real nice. Picked it up. He said, now I stand the old man, picked it up, throwed it on his shoulder, you know, like that. Let it drop down. He's walking on, the axe drops off behind. Never chopped jar, and that thing split that. It's painted hound, see?
Yeah.
And when he slung it over his shoulder like that, and it hit on his shoulder, you know, with a little jar, and it made the weight bag down.
Mm-hmm.
And undoubtedly had the eye, the head of the axe turned down, and the blade made it, you know, pitch back like that.
Yeah.
And it just dropped off.
I heard something the other day. I was talking to old man.
I was talking with Cedar Junior Smith up here at Walkahooie, and he said this man, he knew him. I don't got now. He called the name. I know him too, but I can't think of who it was. Somebody in the feed business, you know, feed lot, lot feeding cows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Said he ground up some moss and ground up some snap corn and sent them both up to the university to be tested for any protein or whatever the value might be, you know. And he come back, the sack that had the moss in it proved to be the best feed.
Well, you know, I tell you, Willie.
Said it had more of everything in it that corn had. It had more of everything.
Did you ever pull that moss for the camel? Well, when you do, you want to roll up your sleeves. It's not easy work.
Oh, I pulled moss to sell.
Yeah.
I never pulled any for the cows. I picked it up around the yard and threw it over into the field out there for.
Yeah.
But that's a hard job.
That's a hard job.
Just a hard job.
If you get up there, that looks like it's plentiful.
Yeah, and if you get up there and look out from the trunk of the tree out, you don't see much.
That's right.
Yes, sir, I know what you're talking about.
And after you get down there, it won't come loose, you see. As tough as that burnt stuff you ever saw.
I was going to buy me a bicycle one time when I was about 10, 12 years old. Well, boys, there's plenty of moss out here, and you get 3.5 cents a pound for moss. That's cured out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Clean, stick clean, rather, baled. And it takes a lot of moss cured to weigh 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And if you got 2.25 or 2.5 hundred for moss, why, back then, you know, you thought it was really doing big business. And now go out to gather moss at that price, he's starving to death.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And I got enough. I don't remember 40-some pounds, but I had a huge pile, you know, proud of me. Daddy said, you ain't got enough to buy a spoke in the wheel.
Yeah.
And spokes and bicycle wheel back then come cheap. By a joke, I think I had 41 or 2 cent worth of moss when it was cured out.
Yeah.
40 some odd cent of moss. And a pilot take me, I guess I worked that thing 2-3 weeks off and on. And to come in from school, you know. But you know how kids will work. They'll really work at one thing for a while, and then the fever wears off or something, and they don't fool with it no more. Well, I got to go, and first chance I get, I'll be over.
Have preaching tomorrow?
Yes, come out.
I would love to.
We're going to have dinner at that church.
Oh, you are?
We're going to have dinner at that church. If you, every time I ever called over here, I didn't get nobody.
After supper?
After any time.
So that's that long, fine session with Willie Chitty on Saturday morning, the 16th of November, 1968. And this is the end of that fine, long session with Willie Chitty on Saturday morning, the 16th of November, 1968. That's the end of the visit with Willie Chitty on Saturday morning, the 16th of November, 1968. Nice, balmy November morning. Now, this is a short tape from August 1969, Willie came over on that Saturday to see how my outlets were, whether they'd hold the television sets or not. We had a fine tape that didn't work out. My taper didn't work out. Then I taped him on the way out to show him over the ground.
That's these horses.
Oh, I see. I'll go on down then. Otherwise, yes, sir, a pair will get me all tuned up. Sometimes I can blow taps. You don't ever do that, do you?
Not from pears. I never eat pears except when they're cooked.
Man, see, Dan, you run them when you cook them.
Yeah.
Suppose you're wrong. You've added on here.
Yes.
Why'd you do this? Now, who's doing the electrical work? Huh?
Nick done that.
Oh, good.
Well, see, that's no problem. He just come from over yonder.
where tacked on to where you left off out there.
Oh, is that what he done?
Mm-hmm. See, this is going to hold hay, Willie.
Well, you got hay in
here. Yes, but look out here. It's going to keep coming on out here. That's going to hold enough hay to get me through the winter.
How many cows you got?
I got about 30.
Oh, well, then you don't need it. Oh, 300 bales, do you? 400.
Yeah, I'm going to have some to spare.
You going to sell me some?
Uh-huh. I'll swap you some.
Is it good hay?
Yes, sir.
What kind?
I got two kinds.
I don't know the hair.
That's the best.
Mm-mm.
What's wrong with the hair?
Angola. Angola. Coastal Bermuda.
Well, you left out the best one.
Mm-mm. Which one's that?
Alice Clover.
I never fed any of it. I don't know it.
I tell you the trouble with it. Once you feed them little Alice Clover, they won't eat the other.
Hmm.
So I wouldn't recommend it.
What are you doing with that old grave shovel?
Huh?
Old grave shovel.
I was cutting roots and digging these holes right here on these oak trees, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bahia is underestimated all the way along.
You do?
Out there in the field.
Really, I don't want no Bahia. I don't want seed. I don't want my place seeded in Bahia no more than what I got.
What do you got it in?
Nothing. I'm going to put out some coastal Bermuda if I can ever get time.
Well, Bahia won't hurt your coastal.
Mm-hmm. It kill it. Oh, Bahia kill anything. Except centipede.
Yes. Well, now that's different. That's a different,
You want to buy it there?
Customer. I can't eat it.
Man, that's... I'm on good... Where you get that tractor from?
Oh, you hadn't seen that. Look at that tractor. Oh, man. You talk about a tractor now, that'll do the work.
And you got it for nothing.
Yeah, I got it for nothing. No, there's no saying to go. It's a recent model, and it just runs like a top. I don't know where the key is. And it will pull. Oh, man. And it I use it for the hay. You see, it's got this thing here.
Mm-hmm.
And this it makes it so much easier on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Where do you buy it from?
I got it from the, you'd be surprised. I got it from that international man up there, Jameson. And he just didn't want it. It's just on his hands, you see. And he just wanted to get rid of it. How much do you think I had to pay him for it?
$1,500.
$1,000. Why, down there, old Red Smith down there brought one out here. Is Alice Chalmers, an old pre-war model. It had that gear that you push in. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted $1,500 for that. And then he had to adapt it, you see, to my three-point hitch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have cost another $150. Mm-hmm. And
that's
it was an ancient.
That's the reason I asked you about this. Why, I was going to buy a tractor here back. See, I use my brother's tractor in game most of the time.
Yeah.
But we sold that truck. We don't have no way to transport it. This one like that over there.
Yeah.
Yours is a first. No, it's a Ford.
Yeah. It does nice, you know, just around the place. But, you know, you can't... It comes unjointed in too many places.
Hmm.
Well, now, let me tell you, if I had a...
Will you take $800 for it?
What?
Thanks.
Oh, I couldn't get along with that, Father. well, let me tell you, if I had a...
You mean you wouldn't take $800 for it? Cash money?
Well,
right here.
The money wouldn't do me a bit of good, really. It wouldn't mow the grass for me.
You wouldn't want to get wrecked. I need a track to bed.
Here's the key.
Is that the key to it?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Well, that ain't nothing, is it?
Right.
You might well sell this track. He ain't got no key.
I wish I had another one. I might lose that. Where would you get a key like that?
You got to go to
let's see, is that higher? Yeah. I hold my foot on the clutch.
Yeah, that's better.
Willie's examining the tractor. He started it, and pretty soon now he's going to comment on it. And this is that Saturday, the early in August, or late July, 1969. He came over to inspect my outlets to see if it was satisfactory for the electronics setup.